Though it benefits from the comic charms of its two leads, Tommy Boy too often feels like a familiar sketch stretched thin. To which I say, shut up, Richard. Hi, guys. It's the 40 Under 40 podcast. After a little week hiatus, due to some scheduling conflicts, we're back. We're back to talk about a pretty great movie. Hate to spoil the ending here, but we're back to talk about a pretty great movie.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for the very simple, very to the point, very straightforward opening.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the movie just helps you out with a classic line that fits the format of the show here.
Well, I'm going to say right off the bat, you mentioned some spoilers before. This movie is comfort food for me.
Yes.
And I was really, really hard pressed to like even come up with any cringeworthies.
I have three.
I have four, and I don't even think, to be honest with you, I think I could probably erase one.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are actual, like, none of them are actual, like, for real legitimate gripes. That's just, like, stuff to write down because, you know, yeah, we do have a format of the show here.
We do. So it's just going to be us, kind of similar to Billy Madison, just rattling off quotes and lamenting. I feel like every time he pops up in a movie, I think it's the fourth Farley movie that we've done. And just profess our love for this fallen angel. Anyway, what's your history with this movie? Did you see it in the theater? Did you catch it at home for the first time? Like, what was your, did you watch SNL and know Chris Farley? Like, what was the backstory here?
I did. I didn't watch it as kind of religiously as you and I watch it now, but I definitely watched SNL, kind of like sneaking watching it just because like I definitely should have been in bed at 11:30 at night on Saturdays. But I was definitely up watching SNL and ECW and other things that are on late on Saturday nights back when we were kids that, you know, maybe 10 or 12 year old kids shouldn't be watching, but yeah, it helped form me as a human, both in, comedy and wrestling consumption. Yeah.
What was the first cast you watched? Like, what was the first cast that you remember? Was it this crew or
it had to be like, what was before this? Like Eddie Murphy and stuff? Like, definitely not. Like, we were
fine. Oh, no. Before this, it was like, I mean, it was Dana like and Mike Myers. And
like, I remember them. I don't know if I remember them from seeing them live or if I remember them from like, you know, that I've seen Wayne's World a bunch or like, you know, it's hard. It's hard for me to pinpoint and like, yeah, like real specific stuff from my childhood, like isn't, I don't know, maybe it's the weed, but it's more like general knowledge and not specific knowledge. But like, I definitely remember watching like their SNL cast. I don't think I saw it in the movies, but like, I definitely watched it on like VHS and cable a lot. Yeah, I feel like I didn't see this in the movies. Like, I don't think my parents would have taken, like, they didn't watch SNL. So, like, I don't know that they would have been like, oh, yeah, this is a movie we should go take you to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw this in the theater with this kid, Patrick Palmer was his name. And he was like 6'4". That's not even an exaggeration. He was like your height in the fifth grade.
That's got to be an awkward existence for him. Like, I was always tall, but like, In fifth grade, I was still probably only like 5'8", and like that was tall back then. Like 6'4", yeah. Jesus Christ.
I mean, maybe I might be exaggerating a tad, but yeah, he was just this gigantic kid, really sweet kid. Yeah, we saw it together, wow. And I think it'll probably step on something later on, but that was the first time I saw sort of a naked woman in the movie theater.
The first one, I know this one specifically.
Yeah, what's this?
And it's actually an actress in the movie.
Really? Oh, was it Doc Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh God, that's crazy that I know that. That's sick.
How? So I think Doc. I feel like Doc Hollywood was like 1993.
No, I think it's like 1990.
I'm gonna look it up now because I have the IMDb for the movie open, so it's an easy little click to Julie Warner here. Shoot over there.
Big time crush on her then. Still got a big time crush on her. 91.
So I'm 7 years old. I saw 6 or 7, depending on when exactly Doc Hollywood came out. So my first pair of movie boobies.
Wait, is that a PG-13 or an R?
It's a PG-13, Doc Hollywood.
Because that's like a pretty lengthy topless scene. And it's like, it's not like Titanic where it's like hidden parts and then you get a glimpse and then it cuts.
No, there are bare boobs. Bare boobies.
There's I want to rewatch
that movie. I like that movie a lot, actually.
It's a really good movie. Underrated Michael J. Fox, for sure. This was definitely the first boobage I saw in a movie theater. And what can we say? Like again, we hit on this every time. I don't know if there is a more beloved human being that has passed almost 30 years ago now. This movie is almost 30 years old, which is,
I know, it's crazy.
Absolutely fucking insane. I got a couple of questions for Mangan.
I would love to answer them to the best of my abilities.
Yes. So this is going to step on our cast, but what the hey? Is this the last great / memorable Dan Aykroyd performance?
Now I need to ask me another one while I kind of scroll his IMDb. I don't want to keep all 11 of our listeners on hold while while I peruse this. But
the best that I can do was The Doctor in 50 First Dates, which, meh. I mean, it's fine, but it's not, you know.
It's fine. It's not super memorable. It's not super memorable. So it's not that.
You know, he popped up again as Ray Stantz in the last Ghostbusters movie, but I think this might be like the last really good thing that he did, which is so weird to think about. But yeah, Chris is looking.
IMDb is vexing me right now.
Yeah.
There was an error loading credits. Yeah, great. That's your one fucking job on Earth.
All right. Anyway,
here we go. I'm rolling out. But ask me another one while I just kind of.
I actually forgot the other one that I was going to ask you. I didn't write it down. I'm just crushing it today. I'm absolutely crushing it. I'm just
Celtic Pride. I don't know.
Celtic Pride. Anyway.
Yeah, wow. I mean, Blues Brothers 2000.
That's rough. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess so.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad.
And he's still just doing stuff, just nothing I remember.
Yeah.
Like, he still has credits up until fucking this year, so fuck.
I don't get it. I really don't. Anyway, so let's do some trivias. I've got a few good ones. So Farley was completely sober during filming. However, he started chugging coffee and cappuccino, and he would have up to 27 cups of cappuccino every day, sometimes three at a time before every scene. So the scene, in particularly the scene... 27
cups?
27. And then he would crash. He would crash at lunchtime, and it would take like an army to wake him up. Anyway,
so I've been on record with my love of caffeine on this podcast in particular. I fucking love it. Coffee, Celsius, Red Bull, The Rock's energy drink, whatever you can fucking pump me up with. That is so fucking much. Like, it's a miracle he just didn't have a heart attack and die from all that.
Yeah.
Like, let alone the actual drugs, like, later on. But, like, and, like, how you even stay off the toilet with 27 cappuccinos. Like, all that coffee and dairy. Like,
yeah,
how he's even able to get out of the bathroom to shoot a scene is borderline fucking miraculous at that point. I'm still like, you can see my face here. Like, I'm really trying to process that fact. That is one of the more surprising ones I've heard at some time.
I mean, he was an addict, and it was, you know, when it wasn't that, it was food. When it wasn't food, it was booze. When it wasn't that, you know, like it was just like a thing that he needed to, And it was his first, you know, it was his first starring thing. It was his, it was a lot. And there's a lot of, so do you listen to A Fly on the Wall with David Spade and Dana Carvey?
I do not.
Check it out. They did like a 5-hour, no joke, 5-hour tribute episode to Chris Farley. And they had like Saint Laurent. They had, they had everybody. They had Mike Myers. They had Rob Lowe. And they all just told stories about him. And, you know, it was probably the more honest oral histories I think I've heard of him. Like, a lot of people talked about, like, he had a real fucking mean streak and he had a real dark side. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, during the filming of that movie, like, you know, that was his vice. Like, that's what he did. And I got another story later on in the trivia, but I'll throw out a couple of cutesy things here. The film was originally pitched with the idea of Chris Farley and Rob Lowe as brothers, like brothers to Big Tom Callahan. And that's the way the movie was structured. And then they retooled it because Lorne would watch Chris Farley and David Spade's interactions around the office at Saturday Night Live. Because they would, you know, shut up, David, like all that stuff,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
He thought they would make a good team. And then Richard, the role of Richard was created for Spade.
Richard.
And then And then they bumped Rob Lowe to be the evil sort of brother, whatever. We all know how that went. This is fantastic. Actually, no, I'll save that one. So speaking of Rob Lowe, so Farley and they worked on something together. I forgot what it was, but Wayne's World. Rob Lowe was in Wayne's World, so he kind of got ingratiated with that whole crew then.
Okay.
So when Farley kind of had like a man crush on him, and it was Rob Lowe's first week on set, and they had just traveled back from New York to do Saturday Night Live, and they flew in, and Farley wasn't feeling well, so he ended up going to sleep. So David Spade runs into Rob Lowe, I guess, at the hotel, and they had a drink. Chris Farley got wind of it and got extremely jealous.
Oh, no. To
the point where he showed up to set like super confrontational, like he was going to fight David.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, he's like, so what's up with Rob Lowe? So what's up, Rob Lowe? You can't invite me. So Spade didn't want to take the bait. He walked away. He kind of hid like in like a stairwell and ate his lunch. So he was eating a tuna fish sandwich, and Farley comes and finds him.
I was imagining cold cuts, but okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, Farley goes to find him.
I knew it was like a little white bread sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. You imagine David Spade. He's eating a little white sandwich like that. Yeah, it's exactly like a little 5-year-old.
Cut off.
So Farley stands over him and he's like, what's up with Rob Lowe? They start screaming at each other. Farley steps on Spade's hand with the tuna fish sandwich in it. Spade throws his fucking drink on him, and then Farley kicked him down the flight of stairs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So then as that's happening, a PA comes over and is like, actors on set right now. And Spade's like, no, fuck this guy. I'm never talking to this motherfucker again. So the production got like halted. They get separated. And as Chris Farley's walking away, he fucking shoulder checks a crew member that was like bigger than him and knocks him to the ground like goes back to his trailer. Yeah. And it's so funny to hear these guys tell these stories because they tell it so loving, but there's a lot of stories like that about Chris Farley, you know?
I mean, obviously, a man with that, you know, that history, like, is going to have his demons. It's going to have his dark side.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot of just like happy-go-lucky addicts out there in the world. Like, something driving it, you know, deep.
Yeah.
Beneath there. So.
Well, it sounded like, you know, he was a dry drunk, you know, right. And that's an unfortunate reality. But I just. He steps on his sandwich and kicks him down the stairs. It's so fucked up.
Gets his ass down the stairs.
But you know what? That's what caffeine does to you, man. It makes me fucking... Remember all my doorman shit when I would get into fights with cabbies every day? I was drinking like 5 cups of coffee a shift. Like,
Yeah, I don't know that it's the coffee and that it was other stuff probably, and the the coffee maybe exacerbated it a little bit, but like
caffeine's a bad thing sometimes, dude.
It's a bad thing when mixed with other issues. Yes.
Yeah. And this is my favorite. So this is Quentin Tarantino's favorite comedy, or one of his favorite comedies.
Oh, wow.
Did you notice a little line during the wedding that Big Tom says after the T-bone steak line, and he makes the sale and he pulls little Tom over to him? You know what he whispers in his ear? 8 goddamn whiskey sours and I still sell the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
8 goddamn whiskey sours. 8 fucking whiskey sours.
Yeah.
Do you know what movie?
Nope.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
Right? Any sort of internet research. I just kind of put that together. I'm like, that has to be. It totally clicked. Like,
wow.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino likes to give big nods to movies that he loves.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that fucking great?
That's a good one. Good for you, buddy. That's a nice pull. It's a really nice pull.
Thanks, man. All right. That concludes my trivs.
Question for Chris.
Yeah.
Did you know that it was actually at a real college? His brief stint at the college. Yeah, I didn't realize. Like, usually in these things, it's like a bullshit college. Like, it's fucking like East Ohio State College, Junior College, whatever the fuck, with a moron like this. But yeah, he actually went to Milwaukee and went to Marquette.
Yeah, that was a big thing. He was actually a rugby player too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, speaking of college campuses where they actually shot the thing, Rudy just turned 30 this year.
Wow.
A couple weeks ago.
I'm gonna fucking smack you if you say it.
All right. Well, first of all, physically impossible right now. And second of all, I wasn't going to. Don't be a J-O.
Cool. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. You got some stats for me, nerd?
I sure do, buddy. Tommy Boy, Rotten Tomato score, 39%. Bad look for the critics. Good fortune for us. Audience score, a much more sensible 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Released March 31st, 1995. To an opening box office of just over $8 million. And despite not being an overly impressive number, that $8 million was good enough to land at number one that week.
With the 90s.
With some good movies in this list here. We've got Outbreak at number two, Major Pain, Dolores Claiborne, Forrest Gump in week 39, Pulp Fiction in week 25, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, star Man of the House, Lori Petty's Tank Girl. Those are our other notables there. Our box office budget, an even $20 million per the Google. And a total box office gross, just over $32.5 million. So profitable enough for, like we covered in the Black Sheep podcast, to get a second one greenlit and turned around too fucking fast. Our stars, as we well know, Chris Farley, David Spade, Brian Dennehy, Rob Lowe, Bo Derek, Dan Aykroyd. Some smaller roles and or cameos, Julie Warner, Sean McCann, Zach Grenier, and both Farley brothers, which I missed them, but according to IMDb, they're both in the movie again.
Mm-hmm. I got one cameo. The kid whose face Rob Lowe punches through the window is one of Billy Madison's third grade friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it looked familiar.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. So Chris, as this movie pretty prominently features a road trip, and on this road trip, our stars are seen jamming out some music, singing some songs together. Got us wondering, what are your five favorite road trip songs?
This was interesting.
It's very subjective.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room here. It's really just kind of like, and it could vary here too, right? Like it depends who's in the car with you.
Yeah. It
depends what like your shared musical history is. If you're by yourself, even, some people do the traveling on their lonesome, riding the old dusty trail. So yeah, there's a lot of room for interpretation here. But yeah, I didn't want to go too dark here. We're going to get into enough grief as we get along here. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have a little bit more of an uplifting tale here.
Good. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I think in the last 10 years or so, I've kind of shifted to listening to podcasts and listening to, I like to listen to sports radio when I'm by myself.
Okay.
Like just talking head sports radio bullshit. Not that New York produces that of a good nature these days. I feel like those WFAN afternoon guys kind of stink.
Yeah. Question for Chris here. Pop-up question for Chris. How many hours do you think is like the minimum to qualify as a road trip?
If you're doing it by yourself, I think it's got to be on the longer, like 4 to 6 hours. If you're doing it with someone else, I would say 2.
It's not a road trip. It's just going somewhere. Like,
yeah, but two hours.
My cousin lives in Connecticut. It's not a road trip. We're just going to my cousin's house.
Okay. All right.
I think four.
Okay. 4 to 6. I would say, or anything above 4 hours. I also don't drive a lot. So like whenever I get in the car with someone who also doesn't drive a lot, it's like we're going to fucking Central Jersey and it's like, oh, road trip. You know, I think it's classified a little more differently. Yeah, exactly. All right. I no longer have a vehicle, but yeah. So yeah, I didn't really know where to start. I didn't know if it was like something like if it's me singing along in the car or if it's me and someone else. So I just did a little mishmashy here.
There's really no wrong answers here. So just shout them out.
Yeah, I'm going to go. My number 5 is from the Notorious Big, little song called Juicy.
All right. Very good.
Very yeah.
Good. I recently did a bit of a road trip myself. We drove in August to and from Michigan, which from where I live is just about 10 hours each way. Mm-hmm. And I spent the last probably like hour and a half just on a Biggie playlist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was fucking great. Oh, you know, I actually just listened to Life After Death, both CDs or both, you know, it's not a CD, it's on the fucking Apple Music, but you know, you get the idea.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good one. And Biggie just thumps. Like, it just fucking thumps. Yes. It gets you there. I think the point of, like, the road trip song, the sing-along, is something fucking fast-paced that passes 7-8 minutes in a pop where it feels like a couple, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
So with that, fast-paced, definitely very sing-alongable, Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Oh! To what my brother Kevin refers to as the whitest song ever made.
Probably up there.
Yeah. As we looked over a sea of white people in Pittsburgh wearing 7-Line Army gear, singing it as if it were the last fucking thing we were ever going to do on this earth. Fucking 15 beers deep at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Fantastic. A bunch of IC lights.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah. I mean, that's just sing-alongable anywhere.
It
great
is.
Karaoke
and song. A bunch of these are going to have overlap in those categories too, right? But yeah.
My number 4, and I only have this year because it pertains to another one of my favorite movies, another road trip movie, in fact. I'm going The Mess Around.
Sing it for me. What's The Mess Around?
Everybody do the mess around. Ray Charles. As made... a little bit more famous by Mr. John Candy in a little movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It clicked. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Very just good. Crushing almost, a cigar.
It's almost time. We got about 5 weeks till you and I both in our respective places on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Sit down and enjoy.
Greatest Thanksgiving movie known to man. But all right, number
it's also only one of like 3.
Yeah, right? The only one. Yeah,
doesn't stop it from being great though. All right, my number 4, Hotel California by the Eagles.
Oh, describe to me like where, like if you had to put that on, like if you were pulling up to like, I don't know, I'm imagining Atlantic City for some awful reason.
I have a
the
whole
skyline and everything.
My honorable mentions are all Atlantic City stuff, basically. So we're gonna save that.
Okay, so Hotel California. Okay, all right. Didn't know you were who sings that?
The Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. Yes, I hate the Eagles. The football team. Okay. Number three, and this is honestly like it's every single one of his songs ever. But I kind of had to narrow it down to one. You might remember the song. I don't know if you remember. You got married on New Year's Eve in 2017. I don't know if you were there, but yeah, you got married to a woman named Jamie. I was there in the wedding party.
Yep. All these things are true. Yep.
One of the last songs that we sang that were on the dance floor was a little song by some guy named Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. Tramps Like Us. Baby, We Were Born to Run. I think Casey quoted it in his Marriage of You Two.
Maybe.
I think he did.
Maybe.
Yeah. But
I just had Springsteen in my honorable mention, so that takes care of that. Good job.
Really, like that's not on your like on the parkway on my way to Man. Oh, it's not a road trip, but
yeah,
on the way to Manasquan, like.
Well, ironically enough, my three, great segue, Chris. And because I heard it today on the golf course, a little ditty about Jack and Diane.
That's a good one.
And because I would always doctor the words to Livin' in Squan. So
wait, can you sing that?
No.
Come on. No. A little ditty about Livin' in Squan. Was that it?
Oh yeah, life goes on. Da, 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 da. A living in Squan.
More like living in squalor.
that was also factually correct.
Fucking Ben. Oh god, Flophouse, you said the other day. It made me laugh.
I did. Yeah.
My dad used to say that all the time. Anytime there was like a mess, I was like, this isn't a Flophouse. I didn't know what that meant. Until I saw Flophouse. Yeah. Anyway.
You don't want to see too many of them.
My number two, in my opinion, the only song where everybody sings the verses and nobody sings the chorus. Everybody takes a break during the chorus. Little guy by the name of Billy Joel.
Also on my album, which is just Billy Joel.
About a fire that was not started.
Ah, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I drove 3 hours to Long Island on Friday morning, and the entire ride was just the what Apple Music calls the essential Billy Joel.
Yeah, Spotify's got one of those too.
It's like if I'm driving out to Long Island, I might as well just listen to the fucking King of Long Island on the way out here.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that he's not actually a Mets fan, though.
Just has a bunch of hats.
Well, no, that he just kind of was at that game, and you know, they caught him on camera listening to everybody sing his song. I don't know. The World Series, man, that wasn't fun.
Nope. Yeah,
I was there for that. It's terrible. Okay.
All right, number two, maybe a little too on the nose here, but "Life Is a Highway" by Tom Cochran.
Well, there's that. Is it The Office that? Wasn't there a scene from The Office? I think it was when he with Amy Ryan and they were. Michael Scott planned to fucking sing that the whole time. And anyway, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
All right. What's your one?
So, yeah. This reminds me of another movie called The Devil's Rejects. Have you ever seen it? It's a Rob Zombie film. Didn't think so. No.
I have not consumed much Rob Zombie content in my life.
So the end of the movie, spoiler alert, the Devil's Rejects have gotten away, or so they think, and they're driving, and they play this entire fucking song leading up to a big old police roadblock, and they have this fiery fucking showdown. And they die in a blaze of glory to the tune of Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird.
Play Freebird.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up!
Yep. All right.
Yeah. I mean, just simply for the 3 minute insanity of the guitar riff, I feel like I can go 140 miles an hour when that's happening.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's it.
My number one, not made the most famous by this scene, but definitely elevated by this scene. Also in an SNL cast member movie, in a vehicle, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Have you ever tried to headbang like that where you're on the highway? It's very dangerous.
I assume it's really unsafe. I assume driving at a high rate of speed while shaking your head around and not really keeping your eyes on the road can't possibly be, you know, approved by Anthony Babe Silvestro at the Monsignor Farrell High School driver's ed class. But yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee you, your friend Spew, he's going to spew if he's shaking his head around like that, dead drunk in the back seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good choice. Good choice, my friend. Thanks. Honorables.
Honorables, as I said before, some Atlantic City specific ones, and while it's not a road trip, it still had to be mentioned here, especially because today we did have a little golf outing for our dentist in the sky, and we had some rides down in his Mustang, some with me just fucking greased up and shoved in the back seat of the car, any Bobby Darin, but particularly Mac the Knife, the entire Live at the Sands album, from the Rat Pack. Those were prominently featured on many car ride. Also, we figured out separately that when you get on the Atlantic City Expressway to like the showboat area of Atlantic City, is exactly as long as one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. just good fate, I guess. So that comes on a lot, and then Covered Springsteen, Covered Billy Joel, Bon Jovi. And then recently, as Charlie has become obsessed with the movie Sing 2, Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
You know, I love Prince.
Yeah.
I just got hit with a Rocco memory, like, hard, and I just got a little emotional for a second.
I could see that. Do you want to share, or do you want to?
Yeah,
wanna...
No. It was the first... I don't remember what we were doing. Or no, we were definitely going to Atlantic City, but I don't know why.
Man-mas?
It might have been my 21st birthday, to be honest with you. And it was he had like the satellite radio, and it was the mm-hmm. first time I ever listened to stand-up comedy on like a radio in the car. And that's all we did, just him and I on the way down. And we had like, you know, in between him and I had like a really good, like, you know, it was just
yeah. It's a tough one. I'll cheer you up on a ride home from Atlantic City one time. Me, you, Conco, and Lee coming back to the city, just listening to Ron and Fez on screen callers for fucking 2 hours while all of us were definitely hungover. Fucking terrible. I fucking hate that bit. And I was stuck in a car with you three fucking dolts. Stuck listening to that fucking bit for 2 hours.
I don't know if this is the same time, but like, so we all like bottomed out in like 2 hours. We were barely 21. We had like $100 a piece between us, mm-hmm. and Rocco won like $1,000 playing blackjack. And then we ended up leaving. We didn't even stay the night. We ended up leaving. We come back to Staten Island. We go to someone's house, and Rocco bought like a 36 pack or something. And it was me, Conco, and McGlynn and Rocco. And I think it was, yeah. So Rocco stays for like two beers and then goes home. And the three of us drank all of them. Like every beer torched. That he fucking, but we just got absolutely, we had like 15 beers apiece in 2 hours, whatever it was. And like a few days later, he was just, I forgot where we were, but he's like, very matter of fact, he's like, let's get some of those beers I bought the other day. Before we pre-came for something. It's like, oh, about that, buddy.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, God. Yeah. That and we haven't even gotten to the parent stuff yet. Holy
nope.
shit. Oh boy. All right. Maybe we should take a break.
Kids. Back after this. Bye.
Okay. Hi.
Richard, you watching Spanktrovision?
God. Oh boy.
All right, let's go through the three things that we claim to not like about this movie and then move on to the good stuff.
We'll just they're more just like, I guess, like movie plot holes, if we can even call them that. Like one of which is like, why is Rob Lowe so involved in everything, like board meeting wise, like right off the bat? Like, you know, like, yeah. Like it's one thing if it's her, because he, you know, Big Tom signed a prenup, bro. Come on.
Correct. He has literally no place in there as the son. Like, he's not inheriting anything like she is. He could only inherit it from her, like, if the story about him being the son holds up. If it holds water. So yeah, that's weird. Like, why he's in those meetings is weird. Similarly for me, like, just like a pretty big time jump. Like, Tommy's in the office, he's meeting Michelle, they're like chatting and catching up, and then all of a sudden it's like hard cut to the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Saturday. Like, he's like, the wedding's Saturday.
Yeah. So yeah, just like a quick time hop there.
Yeah, but I think they did kind of establish that the two of them had a history, or like, you know, that was like his friend's sister.
Like, it's just like very sudden. Yeah. It's like, hey, like talking in the office at like noon and like during the day, and it's like, boom, party.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I didn't mind it. I thought it was sweet. So go ahead. You looked like you were gonna say a thing.
Well, I was gonna say then at the wedding, or yeah, I think at the wedding. One of his like lieutenants going, I'd like to get some of that on camera when Spade catches him. And he's like, delete that, erase that, edit that out. I don't know whatever the fuck he says, but just like, come on, buddy. I know both Derek's hot, but come on, man.
Yeah, have a little tact. What was I gonna say? I don't know. I lost my train. I'm still a little fucking dusty from like 10 minutes ago, so bear with me. But I mean, just shooting ketchup into your mouth from the packet, that made me sick. It always it still makes me sick. Like,
it's a little gross.
Fucking disgusting. So in what world does the bee scheme actually work?
Where the cops are allergic to bees.
Right, but like the odds of that, and like the cops have eyes, they see that there's no bees like swarming them, and like, you know, Farley was sober, right? So he's like, you know, my friend just threw up a bunch of beer.
Yeah, that could work. Although it's still illegal to have open containers in the car, and
that's
and
true, but that's a ticket.
Drinking in the car,
summons. Yeah.
It is,
and it's the 90s.
Yeah. And like while they're saying like they're being stung, and like the one guy, like the Spade say he's allergic too.
So,
like,
no,
that's like they're everywhere, whatever. I mean, they probably should just call EMS and like have them get out there and like just stay.
Yeah,
on the other side of this.
I mean, just lock yourselves in the car, cops, and then just like close the windows and then call for backup.
Right.
Like, don't leave them there, you pieces of shit.
Right. Just get stung to death. Yeah, just see it on. Yeah. We'll see you at the funeral. He was allergic to bees.
Yeah. And my last thing, my only other cringy thing was so the plan at the airport, can we unpack how they got onto the plane at the airport?
Yeah, how did Leonardo DiCaprio get on the plane and fucking Catch Me If You Can? You just buy a flight attendant suit and hop right on.
Okay, but
it's pre 9/11. Like, airport security is fucking nothing. Like, you used to go wait at the gate for people and just fucking hang out.
So, absolute best case scenario, how much money does Richard have on him? $100. So you're just gonna pay off the flight attendant? Can I have the three of you? Uniforms?
Oh, I thought they bought a uniform somewhere, but I guess why would that make sense of being in an airport? Like, they're just selling flight attendant costumes.
Right?
Specifically for the airline they work for. So yeah, the bribery part of it, yeah, that makes even less sense.
None of it makes sense at all. You know, you know, we talk about like things that you can overlook. Like I've written scripts before and I sit there sometimes and I like agonize over, does this make sense? Does this detail make sense? And sometimes you, and like, can I get away with this if it's a liberty, you know? And there are certain things like that where I'm like, you could just tell that they were like, how do we get them on the plane? Ah, fuck it. Just say that they paid off some flight attendants. Yeah. Like, oh God. Anyway, but yeah.
I mean, you've always been a continuity guy. And if
that's true.
And if I could get you in script writing to pay as much attention to grammar and spelling as you could to as you do to a continuity, I think would really be in a good place here.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I was just talking about this in my class today. The gigantic plot hole in Halloween. I know you haven't seen it, but you know, Michael Myers goes into a mental institution for killing his sister at 6, breaks out at 21 or 22. Knows how to drive, knows how to travel 150 miles to Haddonfield to find his little sister's school, follow her home without any money, without any gas, without any sense of direction. Yeah. And, you know, we just believe it. It's a classic. We just believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway.
Suspend disbelief, my friend. Suspend disbelief. Yeah.
I've got a plan. And same thing too with the road flares. Like, get your road flares and those wires. Yeah,
yeah, the that how he's not in some sort of state prison.
Well, that's what I mean. Like that was going to be my. Could this movie exist in 2023? He makes like several terroristic threats.
The company gets saved, but like the rest of the like David Spade's. I know David Spade's an accessory to this, so like he probably doesn't go to jail for as long, but like. You know, someone else runs the company because Tommy's in jail for 10 to 15 years.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Other than that, the last thing I have is just Big Tom dying because, I don't like seeing parents die.
No, it was upsetting. So I guess that's a good segue to kind of into redeeming. So is this that was my question for Mangan before that I forgot. Is this the first time you've watched it since your dad died?
No, I don't think so. Like not for sure, but it'll be 5 years December, so probably not. I can't imagine I would go 5 years without seeing this movie, like in any circumstance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's definitely it's my first. It was my first, so it got me a few times. And it hits differently. It really does. It hits differently when you've got that hole in your heart watching this movie.
It definitely does. It definitely does. I feel like the worst I ever got hit by a movie like in like a recent like grief hole was right after my grandfather died. Big Fish came out.
Oh, fuck.
And I decided that was a good idea to see in theaters. And yeah, that was a lot of me just crying in public watching Big Fish in the movies. I haven't rewatched it since. I can't. I think it's a really good movie. I remember like enjoying it as much as you can enjoy a 2.5 hour movie that you just cried during. But yeah, I can't bring myself to actually rewatch it.
Dude, so I don't know if I ever told you this. So a couple of days after my mom died, like after the funeral and after the wake and everything, after we had like settled back at home, I was like, out of nowhere, I just went, I have to watch Forrest Gump. And Hannah, my girlfriend at the time, which sounds weird to say, but it's true, was like, you sure about that? You sure you want to? Like Tim Robinson, like, you sure about that? Are you sure? You know,
like, oh boy.
And I'm like, I want to watch Forrest Gump. I'm putting on Forrest Gump right now. So she's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I did it. And I don't know if I actively forgot what happens. But it didn't hit me until finally it's like he goes over the radio, like Lieutenant Dan's like, Forrest is indisposed right now. His mom is sick. Yeah. And he jumps off the boat. And I had like one of those like from the bottom of my soul fucking like heave cries. And I don't know.
I know
maybe
I know
that, well. You know, and I think maybe that's what I needed. And subconsciously it was like, put that thing on. That's gonna fucking get you.
Sometimes I do need a good cry. Sometimes I kind of force myself into it. It could be a song, or a show or a movie, that like I know is going to trigger it a little bit. Like sometimes you just kind of like, I'm a glutton for punishment a bit in that way. But yeah, I get it.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, when you have like a sickness or a pain in your body, you take aspirin, you get rid of it, you rehab it in a way, so to speak. And I think it's healthy. I think it's a healthy thing to go, I know that this movie is going to make me highly emotional. It's going to remind me of this thing, and it's going to get out the fucking gunk that's in me. You know, I mean, as misguided as it felt in the moment, like I did feel better afterwards. So
I like to have a good cry at the nail salon.
What movie is that from?
The Town.
I need like 3 more watches of The Town before I could start quoting it.
Come over.
Yeah. Come on over.
I'll do them all in one night. If you want to watch The Town for 7 hours straight, come over.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm fine with that. Watch through the double feature, the Heat double feature.
That's another movie that sounds, I mean, any gunfire movie sounds fucking awesome in my house.
I don't think we've done that yet. Like watch the gunfire. Oh, we watched Speed, but the kids were in bed, so
cans.
Yeah. Cans.
All right, let's get to the good stuff before we're here for 3 hours tonight.
Just the face first crash into the mirror, the kid is so well cast in the beginning.
He's a great young Tommy. So yeah, I have basically like the whole young Tommy thing and like into the exhaust transition, like that wipe of like him chasing the one boss, and it's just like the exhaust in his face, and then the exhaust fades out, and it's adult Tommy at Marquette. I thought that was a good age jump there.
Yeah, the knowing smirk when he comes up with Herbie Hancock.
Herbie Hancock,
like, just like when he gets the answer,
I got this guy.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just the sweeping, the believability of Brian Dennehy as and Farley as father and son.
It's another great casting job. Yeah, they're very believable as relatives.
Yeah. I mean, the cast in this film is fantastic, but it's cool. Like Brian Dennehy is the fucking death of a salesman, like serious big fucking actor, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's always really cool. I just watched the Brad Pitt episode of Dave, and just seeing a star like that in something like this, you know, it's wonderful. Yeah. And he's fucking great. Like
he's great.
He's perfect. Yeah. Way to go on that D+ the hero's welcome that he gets to the factory.
They don't give a lot of those out. They're so fucking proud of him on the floor. They're so fucking proud of him.
Oh God. What else you got?
When they first get in the car, they have a thin candy shell. I think your brain has a thick candy shell. Rob Lowe punching the kid that you mentioned before. Good Lord, Bo Derek. And then I have a dumb joke. She's like a 10.
Yeah, that's great. The little wink, wink, nod, nod movie reference there. Bo Derek was on that episode that I talked about, the Dana and David Spade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was great. She still sounded like she's fucking 25 years old. It's amazing. Yeah.
Some people have all the luck.
I know. When Rob Lowe and him are like driving around town, and he's like, "Is there anything to do besides eat?" And the things that he rattles off, it's like, "Oh, we can go throw something off a bridge, you know, lots of stuff."
Lots of stuff. Yeah, it's like no big deal.
To the cow tipping scene.
Cow tipping into him doing Maniac.
Oh my God! But just like the sheer, the glimmer in his eyes and the commitment to it and the innocence of him describing what the process of tipping the cow over.
Oh, he's so proud
of it. He's like, what happens? They fall over. It's fucking stupid.
Innocent is exactly right for it. Yeah.
And I think that that's what he had, man. Like, that was the Farley charm. It was like he had all these fucking demons, but he was so sweet. He was so visibly sweet and tortured, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tommy losing his mind on the kids on the boat and then Michelle doing it and like how much more scary she is than this giant man yelling at the kids. Like, she puts the fear of Jesus into them and they are gone, gone.
My absolute, one of my favorite lines in any comedy ever is, "Your sail is limp like your dick." Just to backtrack a little bit.
Seen where you live and I know where you sleep.
Oh God, I might cry now. Sorry, it might happen again. But the moment when him and his dad are putting the tuxes on before the funeral, the wedding. And you know, so his dad has this monologue about like being lonely and being all this stuff, and you know, I just had like a, sort of a, some not a this conversation, but I had a similar conversation with my dad, you know, like, and I remember just saying the exact words, like, "I just want you to be happy, like, I don't care," you know, like, and it was just so fucking real to hear, you know, like, and they didn't really get into like what happened to Tommy's mom, like they didn't not at all. So I think it was a very quick fill in the blanks for me, so like that really fucking got me, man. Like, I had to turn it off for a second. I had to like take a break because it got me good.
It's hard. I mean, just that visual. Like, I have pictures of me like fixing my dad's,
I remember that
bow tie and tuxedo jacket, before the wedding.
Yeah.
So yeah, just that visual is like, I have that. It's one of the last like really good memories I have with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that him leaving with a pocket full of lamb chops, acting like he robbed the place.
That was a hell of a sprint, though.
It sure was. They know how to put on a show up there. If you get married, go see Seasons Catering in Washington Township, New Jersey.
But, you know, what felt so beautiful about that moment is that, you know, everything we had seen from the two of them leading up to that point was Tom acting like a 5-year-old, you know, and him going like, "All right, Tommy, stop, blah, blah, blah. You put your goddamn thing up," you know. And it was just the two of them behaving like peers, you know. And it felt...
And you see why Big Tom wants to protect him and wants this life for him and wants the best for him, because there is that connection. He's not just the idiot that everyone sees. Like, he knows the good in him. He knows, you know, what else is in there besides the fucking goofball.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so heartbreaking. You know, like that little moment there where it's like, oh, fuck, they finally, like, it felt like they unlocked that new level that you, in your, as you grow into an adult and your parents get older, you know, where you actually have like a conversation with them where it feels like two adults just like being vulnerable with each other and leveling with each other, and them kind of surrendering that, like, okay, my kid is, you know, my peer. It fucking got me good. And just like from a technical standpoint, the transition shot from the wedding into the funeral, that cut where they lean over and it's like,
that's well done in a painful way, but well done.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, Farley's acting for the next 10 minutes. That, you know, I almost resent it every time he like falls on something or runs into something or does something, like, oh God, God, geez. Like, yeah, all of that is hilarious and great and fun, but like, there was always this guy in there too.
There was.
And it's fucking, yeah. All right. What else you got, my friend? I feel like I need a second.
let's turn to some more comedic stuff, some more lighthearted stuff here. When they have the board meeting afterwards, they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do. The lady who just can't stop. And that's when the whores come in. And she just keeps fucking beating this drum about how if the company gets sold and the town goes under, the whole place is just going to be overrun with sex workers. Like, that's it. That's it. If this brake pad company or, you know, automotive parts company closes, that's it. There's just going to be prostitutes everywhere. Sandusky's going to be overrun with women looking to do this kind of work. And the husband is like, I did it once in the war and she won't let me live in town ever since, this poor bastard.
Like the brake pad factory gets shut down and then all of a sudden Sandusky turns into Sodom and Gomorrah.
The factory just becomes a brothel. That's it.
But that scene felt to me like a Happy Madison movie. Like it felt like a scene that would happen in the boardroom in Mr. Deeds. Well, like there would just be this out of nowhere fucking thing that never gets referred to ever again, just to be silly. Like it was such a great choice because there was a lot of heavy shit for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. But she also reminds me of the old lady at the farm in Billy Madison.
She, you know, she reminded me of too. She reminded me of the lady Mrs. Doubtfire, who goes to check on Robin Williams in the house.
The social worker. Yeah.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. All right.
After the boardroom meeting, they get on the road, and the truck smashing demonstration
is, I mean, one of the best comedic scenes of the fucking 90s right there.
I'm just reading it right now, and I'm not gonna do it because I can't do it fucking justice. But if you're listening to this and you don't know what we're talking about, one, get your head out of your ass. Just go back and either YouTube it or go on IMDb to the quotes page and just read it. And man, even as written word, it's fucking outstanding.
You're driving along. Woo. There's this really funny subtle little thing too, is that like when he goes to pick up the thing, Spade reaches over to stop him and there's a very subtle slap away that Farley does, like, and I got this, no let me cook, you know. Like one of those, it's so good.
Amazing.
I also just love, speaking of like destruction, I love the gradual destruction / beating / destroying, those are all the same things, I know, of an inanimate object in a movie, or like a human being that, like, you know, like gets hit with something by accident and just slowly gets fucking destroyed. Always great movie trope, one of my favorites. What about you?
Rob Lowe getting just fucking smoked pissing on that generator.
Yeah,
just the speed and distance at which he's launched backwards is incredible. They put him through some physical comedy in this, which he's not really ever been known for, but he does all right. He holds his own. It's not his you know, his strongest point, but he holds his own here with some good physical comedy.
Yeah, I always love to see like when you get that like leading man. The Rob Lowe's funny. Like, I think that this was the start of that, you know, because he did nothing but comedy then for like the next like 15 years, maybe even more. Now he's back doing like some, I think, one of those 9-1-1 shows. But
yeah,
I mean, Parks and Rec, like all that, like he was, that was jam. Where's Moron? All right. Moron's here. And then after they hit the deer, then they're crying. Farley to Spade's like, it's not my fault. And Farley says, if you hadn't reached over to insult me, you would have seen him coming.
then the deer coming back to life and the fucking freak out.
It's alive. So when Spade is getting drilled by the guy, where he's like, I got this, when Spade goes to try to make the sale, and the guy's like, you're a smug, unhappy little man, you treat people like they were idiots. The cut to Farley giggling while that's happening is fantastic.
He's so happy that I'm making the sale in that moment. never seen a man so thrilled by failure in my life.
Yeah, which leads to him butchering no pun intended, butchering the butcher line.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Tries to jump in and save it. No.
What does he say? Like, you can get a good look at your butcher's ass by sticking your head up there.
Fuck. No, it's gotta be your bowl.
Oh, so good.
That guy in little coat.
Always classic.
Always plays.
I think Spade has that jacket.
Good.
As like a souvenir.
The singing montage into the car spin out.
Yep. And exactly the last thing. It kind of made me long for the days of having like just the radio and you're at the mercy of whatever the DJ plays.
Yeah, a little bit. But then you got to deal with commercials or jump around after that. And like, it always seems like once one station's on commercial, they all are. And like, you got to spend like 15 minutes just listening to fucking Pet Boys ads.
It's very specific.
We're talking about an auto part movie, so it was top of mind for me, I guess.
Yeah. So the fight that they get into. I mean, maybe if we could put this a little bit under cringeworthy, like Spade, under no circumstance in any world is beating Farley in a fight. That little man punching that guy, he could punch him 1,000 times, but the abruptness of him picking up a 2x4 and smashing him in the face with it. So on that podcast, the thing that we talked about, Spade talked about that day, and they had like a stunt 2x4 that he actually hit him in the face with.
Oh wow.
And he said that they did it a few times, and then at one point Farley goes, "I think I have one more in me." He actually said that, but he said it in a way where he was kind of dizzy, and he was like, "That's when I knew that he was really getting hurt, because you know, the guy that would do anything for a fucking laugh."
Right.
He was like, that was like the one time that I saw him like at his limit with something. God. Like a bit of physical comedy, which is which leads into not here so much, but right here.
That, and then his freak out to the waitress at the diner. Incredible. I mean, can't do this anymore. My head's about to explode. My whole life sucks. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Dad just died. We just killed Bambi. I'm out here getting my ass kicked. And every time I drive down the road, I want to jerk the wheel into a goddamn bridge apartment.
It's good.
But it gets him his wings.
Yeah. 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 Well, that happened in the meeting with the guy. The massage it line, the little piece of bread, why you suck as a salesman. That's to the diner waitress. He's like, "I got my little sale," and I push it and I squeeze it and I massage
it. You're naughty.
You're naughty, pet. And then I go.
Oh, I thought he had a freak out. I got the freak out wrong. Oh, well, sorry, everyone.
That's fine. Freak outs are freak outs. Speaking of freak out, Richard, you're a riot. My thing got caught in my zipper and my my dinghy got caught in my zipper and I got piss all over my pants. Oh boy. You guys having fun at home? You enjoying us just sitting here
fucking
reciting lines from a movie that you probably God, you better be having fun.
Take a dump on a box line, always good. I actually used it on somebody at work last week. The Richard beating off stuff is just so fucking good.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant way to like bond those two.
Yeah.
Like one literally catches the other one jacking off to
Alfalfa or Spanky.
He must play for one of the Yankees.
Fuck.
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there. You know, Farley dated her.
Really?
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah, I know way too much about this guy. I'm just realizing that now.
God bless.
The scene, I don't know if this is too far ahead, but the scene with Spade and the airline clerk, where she's trying to find flights and she's just finding flights that don't make any sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty terrific.
And I think that they totally ripped that off and Meet the Parents.
Mm.
Like, might have had the same actress do it. Like...
Mm.
He's a big dumb animal. One of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More Rob Lowe physical comedy, his shirt getting sucked up by the that tube in Michelle's office.
Fantastic. I gotta go. Oh boy. All right. I'm down to I'm in Chicago now with my redeems.
You're gonna skip over housekeeping?
Oh, right. That made me laugh.
I won't do the accent because you'll yell at me and cut it out. So I'll just say housekeeping.
Oh, stop it. Oh, Richard, I'm so happy.
Oh, me. This is little underwear.
If I had to pick like prop to steal from the rewatchables, if we had to do the category, what piece of memorabilia would you want? I would
please
that
don't
underwear.
Say underwear. Oh god. Oh god. Good lord. Pass. Firm pass.
I'm kidding. I would probably what would you take? I think I would take the fat guy in the little coat. Say that's off the table. A Callahan box, brake pad box.
Box of brake pads, maybe. But like, you can get that like a, you know, I feel like they sell it like a Universal Studios or some shit.
You know, it'd be a cool flex. The little car freshener that he wipes his armpits with.
Went a little heavy on the on the pine sol deodorant there, did you, son? Or the pine tree deodorant.
Oh boy. So yeah, I touched on this before. This is like a fantastic little Aykroyd performance here.
It is. And question for Chris, is he just a fucking cone head in this movie? Because he sounds like him.
Well, I think he's just like a hardcore Chicago. Yeah. But yeah, I guess. Yeah.
He just sounds like Conehead Aykroyd a lot.
Yeah. I make car parts for the American working man because that's who I am and that's who I care about.
Yeah.
God, I love that. I like talking like that. It's fun. After they get kicked out of the Selinsky building, the scene on the bench at, you know, we get the funny fat guy joke of him breaking the bench, but Spade saying like you got a friend out of it, he's like, I know you got a lot of friends but I don't, really sweet. That got
it
me.
Is. It's very touching. The fact that he's wearing a Stussy hat during this whole thing is just very like 90s nostalgic for me.
I was trying to figure that out. Can you explain that to me and the audience?
So Stussy was the clothing brand when we were kids, but it's also just the thing a lot of us did when we were bored in class. We would just draw this one little S repeatedly, just the six lines, and then make them connect and then do the top and the bottom.
Yeah. Whenever I see the Kraken logo, I think of that.
Yeah. Very, very, very similar. Very reminiscent of the of those days of yesteryear.
The Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
Cool name.
Yeah.
Cool color scheme. I love Seattle sports stuff.
We're going to be getting more of it soon.
Yeah, they do green very well. Why, you think the NBA?
The Sonics are coming back 100%. When the NBA expands, it'll be Seattle and Vegas and maybe two more cities, but definitely Seattle and Vegas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
The old man asleep on the couch, and the wife wakes him up. He's like, look at this idiot. I buy brake pads off of him. I thought we were watching cartoons. And then he switches, immediately switches. It doesn't even see how it plays out. He just immediately switches back to fucking Looney Tunes.
I don't know if you noticed too, like when they cut to the waitress in the diner, you want this or gladiators? And they all say gladiators. They're all eating wings.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very good. A nice little touch.
Very astute tonight, Chris.
I am. I mean, I've seen this movie 100 times. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Archie, I lost my virginity to your daughter for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Frank, you were there. Oh, are you still? Did I skip ahead?
Just the payoff of jerking Zelensky, just like that
yeah.
payoff. And just always the line, like the guy, it's so memorable of my line, line in the movie of Tommy just sold $500,000 brake pads. Fucking excitement about it.
Maybe this is also a redeem too. Actually, no, maybe. Do you let Bo Derek walk away with Zelensky and let her rip Zelensky off, or do you get her arrested too? Because I'm more mad at her than I am at Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Like, I want her to get some fucking comeuppance.
I do.
Like Rob Lowe's got a broken testicle or two. That's pretty good punishment, but, like, I want that bitch in jail.
She will eventually, you know, you can't grift that long without getting grifted, or getting your, you know, your just desserts. But yeah, it's, I mean, and he, like, he knows, like, he's gonna take her out and try and, you know, wine and dine a 69er.
Jesus.
Like, yeah, like, he knows who she is. Like, he was in the boardroom. Like, he knows the fucking, like, he knows the time it is. Like, he knows it's up. Oh, that's too far. The guy who talks about jerking off and shitting on every episode, that's too far.
No, it's just like the wine and dine in 69. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
And then, like, his
sounds like something when, you made up.
Not,
you're
not
romantic.
Not.
Okay.
when Zelensky and Podarek are walking off together, and he, like, dictates the note to the assistant, use the bucket to ice down your marbles, Z. It's such a fucking great line.
So whenever you're a big Bar Rescue fan as well,
I am.
That was a big two gold show, Sunday morning show.
It was.
But whenever I would watch John Taffer, I would always say, this feels like a Dan Aykroyd character. You know, like, it, yeah, feels like a 100%. Character that. And when I see Zelensky, that's kind of what it's like that with the Chicago accent.
I would love an Aykroyd SNL appearance where they do a Bar Rescue sketch. I would love that.
Oh, that would make me really happy. But I don't know. SNL 50's happening.
It is.
Next year.
Next year.
Yeah. Wild, man.
Use the bucket of ice down your marbles, Z.
Can I say the line one more time?
Yeah.
Archie, I lost my virginity to your daughter, for crying out loud. Frank, you were there.
Was Frank just at the party, or did they have a threesome with his daughter?
It's so funny.
Yeah. Like, was it just like a high school house party, and like, he happened to be there, or did he happen to be there?
Yeah. Oh god. Do you think Archie punches Tommy in the face at the bar later on?
No, because they saved the town.
That's true.
Saved them from all the whores coming in.
Well, finally for me, the last little moment of him praying to his dad, the wind blowing, yeah, him going, like, all that. I left the movie nice and dusty.
Same, because I still 5 years later, I talk out loud to my dad a lot. And yeah, I don't know if that's normal or not, but I do.
Yeah, I write one page, I journal to my mom every morning. I write one page. I say, hello, what's up? This is what's going on with me. Hope you're good.
Yeah, maybe the first time I remember it was he passed in December. February, I went to the Super Bowl, and I walked, I walked to the stadium by myself. And I walked in and, like, took a lap around and, like, just, like, told him how much he would have loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I went to Atlanta. I had a trip plan. I went to Atlanta the next week. And I just, like, you know, that was, like, the thing that she would always say, like, always ask, like, what did you eat while you were there? Mm. And every time I went to eat something, I would go, I would, like, kind of give a little nod of, like, yeah, that was a 9 out of 10. That chicken, nice sandwich, you know, nice, like,
nice little sandwich.
I saw some giraffes, took a picture at the zoo.
You ever see a giraffe run?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's wild. I saw it at the Detroit Zoo a few years ago for the first time. I didn't know they actually could run. I thought they just kind of, like, fucking, like, doped around a little bit. These motherfuckers can run, yeah, and it's weird. Like, I just keep waiting for them to fucking tip over because they're clumsy. But no, they can motor those fucking things.
No, they're basically horses, but also unicorns, but also dinosaurs. Like, they're just magnificent animals.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot going on up there.
Yeah. And they don't make noise. So
it's very strange.
Well, they don't have a voice box. They make noise, but they can't, like, they don't have, like, a, you know, a thing that makes them. Yeah. And their tongues are black.
Black.
Yeah. You know what? I learned that on Salute Your Shorts.
Oh.
Holler at me, 90s kids.
Camp Onawana.
Yeah. Ugg knew the answer. All right. Anyway.
All right. So could this movie exist in 2023? Yes, but differently, like we talked about, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are different things going on. It's maybe some sort of social media campaign or crowdfunding. Like, it's not a road trip of actual, like, sales. There's something else going on here. It's the other stuff we talked about. It's it's definitely possible. But, like, this is actually, like, one of the better answers we have for it, like, where it's not just like, oh, you know, they said some things. Like, it's there's some timeline. Or like a time era issues. But it still makes it a fun movie. Like, you just got to update it to now and then.
Yeah, when I wrote like the terroristic threats that Tommy did put him in jail for a while. Also, like, do you think it's harder to like scam marriage someone nowadays? Like, can you get away with that now? It's someone that popular.
I think with a little bit of background checking, like, you know, I think private investigators are like research like that, like, is easier to do these days with the internet. But like, you got to think it first. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't thinking about it. Like, he had the means and the money. Like, he could have really had a PI like look into her if he wanted to. But Yeah.
And I think, you know, all the TSA stuff all the airport stuff is
a lot harder to pull off.
That goes. Ah, okay.
Anybody smoke any goddamn cigarettes in this movie?
No, sir.
I played a round of golf today and didn't smoke a cigarette, which is shocking to me, but I just thought it would like fuck me up a little bit too much, so I didn't do it.
Mm. Were you drinking or?
Yeah, I had some beers this morning, and I thought the mix would kind of make me a little fucking woozy boy. So I passed.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
We do shockingly have our first Razzie nominee of the season this week.
Oh, I don't. Oh, can I guess? Sure. Didn't even.
Well, it's not your category, so yeah, that's why you didn't look. If you get it, I'll be very impressed. I'll Venmo you $1.
Bo Derek?
Wow.
Oh. Did I get it?
Yeah. We're supporting actor Bo Derek.
Oh, no. That's mean. All right, well.
But what's not mean is my level of impressedness with you. That's not a word, but whatever.
It was going to be that. I don't know if they do like worst on-screen duo. That was going to be my guess, but like, fuck that shit.
The guys did win best on-screen duo for the MTV Awards that year.
You're goddamn right they did.
There's your $1, pal. Enjoy.
Wait, did you Venmo? Okay, that's nice of you.
Don't spend it all in one place, all right, pal?
All right, well, I need all the money I can get with these fucking studios, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, these cocksuckers, huh?
Yeah. All right.
Give a little moment.
I've probably sent this to you before. I'm pretty sure I have. I'm like 95% sure that I have, but just Tommy giving the finger with the Terminator hand.
Pretty good.
Just because.
Pretty good. I'm going to go with, I can actually hear you getting fatter. Which we could have just sent to each other while you, me, and Larry were just zombified eating White Castle at my house.
Did we tell the audience about this yet?
Did we yet? I don't know.
I don't know, but that was ridiculous.
Chris came to visit a few weeks ago, and we were kind of lost on what to do for dinner one night, and the idea just pops into my fat brain. You know what we should do? Just me, Chris, and my father-in-law. We should order a Crave case and 5 orders of French fries and 3 orders of chicken rings and just fucking have a day. And so we did. And it was glorious. And I got to tell you, it even reheats well the next day.
It reheats well. It's well cold. I had them all sorts of ways. I had my way with those things. I had my way with those White Castle burgers.
Yeah.
And then the next day we went to Costco and they didn't have any fucking samplers ready. So
tragedy struck the boys.
Yeah. But thankfully we got back to the house. Cold sliders. Bang, bang.
Cold sliders. I was at a buddy's in Long Island this weekend, and like we did like a potluck, but like a big barbecue for the games on Sunday. And one of his friends brought over like a full tray of sliders that he made that were like elevated, basically like an elevated, like internet version of White Castle ones. And I was eating a lot of other stuff at first, and like I saw them, I'm like, let me try one. I tried one. It knocked me on my ass. I had like 4 more after that. I was like, Fred, what the fuck did you do to these things? These were fucking magical. So good for you, Fred. You make a nice slider out there in the North Fork of Long Island.
Yeah, there you go, Fred. One time we had the Super Bowl at my house, and Rocco was there actually, and Tommy and a few other people. And, you know, my mom made this gigantic fucking spread. And everybody was stuffed, and then at halftime she like disappeared, and then at halftime she comes in with like 100 fucking sliders.
Were you at SLR when Drogan showed up with 200 like chicken nuggets?
That yeah, and I was drunkenly standing over the fucking stove, what dipping it in move. Mary Jane sauce, yes. Like a goddamn zombie.
Real man of genius.
Yeah, I think he went in there and was just like, did a Ron Swanson. He's like, let me have every chicken nugget you have.
Basically, yeah, he bought him right out of it. Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, enough about our rapidly closing arteries. MVP nominations.
I mean, is there any? I mean, we could say the duo, but I think it's just Farley.
It's the duo. Yeah, it's Farley.
It's the duo. Yeah. I'll give it that, but I think Farley like clearly comes out of this.
Yes.
A movie star, you know. LVP. I just changed my answer. I put a question mark, and then when I heard that about Bo Derek, I put the Razzie Awards.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Cosine.
Yeah. Cosine, perfect.
Yeah. All right, Cressy boy. What you got?
Like I said, you know, I don't always want tomato soup, but when I do, it comforts me. It could be anything. It's a 95 for me. It's not, you know, it's not 100. It's got a couple of, it's not a perfect movie by any means, but it's nearly perfect for me. So I'm going to give it the old 95.
Yeah, I think if I did give Billy Madison 100, I think I like Billy Madison more than this, if I could say that out loud. So probably like a 97, 98, you know.
Yeah, it's just
as close. It's as close as you get.
Yeah. Whew, damn.
All right, Chris, what are we doing next week? Rob Zombie's Halloween?
I legitimately thought about it. So I have two. I'm going to give you three doors to walk through. Actually, no, we just did a comedy. We're not going to do a comedy. Do you want to go horror or do you want to go something seasonal? That's another seasonal, meaning the start of a new season of something.
Horror?
You sure?
No, I'm really having a hard time with this.
You're looking at me like, oh, fuck it. All right. Executive decision.
That's
so,
movie?
No.
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry. No.
God damn it.
No, I'm sorry. God, that was very unfortunate. I'm sorry.
Oh, my
about
God.
That. All right. So, hockey season. Starts this week, no?
Sudden Death?
No, we could do that if you want.
Goon? But
that's like a 95.
Yeah, I bet it's awesome. I actually referenced Goon today too, because I was with someone who loves it.
Great movie. A movie about, a movie that's a little bit of an enigma. Takes place in a state that doesn't get talked about very often. About some guys.
A State of Confusion?
Yeah, State of Confusion. I'm having a really hard time teasing this. We're going to do Mystery Alaska.
Oh, okay. Haven't seen it.
Neither have I, but I was surprised to see.
It's a real mystery to me.
Yeah, but it's a hockey movie. Hockey season starting. It's upon us. Right. I thought you'd be more, I thought you'd be a little more. Although, do they play the Rangers? I know. Anyway.
We won't ever get to do executive decision. It's 63%. So
that sucks. Oh. All right. Well, yeah, that's what we're doing next week. Movie neither of us have seen.
They do play the Rangers, by the way. So this is good for us.
So it's okay. Well, I mean, I don't think the Rangers are the good guys. Yeah. That's why I was like, this movie has to be at least watchable.
What a cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll fuck with this.
Yeah.
Produced by David E. Kelly.
Yeah. I'm surprised you've never seen this movie.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Boy. There's a stat you don't want to see. We'll save that for next week.
What's the audience score? Is it bad?
It is... No, it's fine.
Okay. All right. We shall see. All right. Well, that's it for the pod this week. Thanks for this vulnerable little hour and a half that we just had with each other. I had some nice laughs. I feel a little better. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. That's it for me. That's cut. It for you. Bye. Bye. Cut.